gentlemen, maybe you won't believe what I'm going to tell you, but I ask you to believe it because it's the truth. The absolute truth. This happened to Wilbur Brown. Wilbur was in his early 40s, married, and had no children. His wife was a rather attractive woman in a frilly sort of way, and she never looked at Wilbur. She preferred going to the movies and looking at Clark Gable and Tyrone Power and Cary Grant. Wilbur worked in a bank near Central Park in Manhattan, a borough of New York City. He was a teller. All day long, he stood in a cage looking out of a little wire grill and taking in and handing out money. To give you an idea how long people had been associating Wilbur with the cage and the little wire grill, once Wilbur walked into Mr. Johnson's office to see about an overdrawn account. Mr. Johnson was the manager of the bank. Wilbur entered and said...
Excuse me, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson looked up and said...
Who are you?
Brown.
Answered Wilbur.
Who?
Asked Mr. Johnson.
Brown.
Repeated Wilbur.
Brown, the teller.
Mr. Johnson still looked befuddled, so Wilbur took the little spare wire grill he always carried for such emergencies and held it in front of his face. Then Mr. Johnson's face lit up and he said...
Oh, yes, Brown.
Every weekday at 12 o'clock, Wilbur ate his lunch very quickly so he could spend most of his lunchtime walking around Central Park. He loved Central Park, especially the zoo. One particular day, the day my story begins, Wilbur stopped in front of a cage that bore the sign Chimpanzee Habitat Africa. Well, to Wilbur, the animal looked like any old big monkey he'd ever seen, but the sign said Chimpanzee
Habitat Africa.
And, like most other people, he wasn't going to argue with it. Instead, he simply looked at the chimpanzee behind the bars, and the chimpanzee looked back at Wilbur. Chimpanzee smiled kindly at him and spoke in a voice that was soft with sympathy.
Oh, my, it's really a pity that you should have to spend most of your life in a cage.
Why, how did you know that I spent most of my life in a cage?
My good man, that's very simple. I can see the bars in front of your face.
You can see the bars in front of... Oh, that's very funny. He can see the bars in front of my face.
Well, what's so funny about that?
Really? Those bars aren't in front of my face.
They are?
No, they're in front of your face.
No.
Yes, you're the chimpanzee. It's not I who's in a cage, it's you.
You mean I'm the one who's in a cage?
Certainly.
I'm in a cage just because I'm a chimpanzee. I used to feel so sorry for those poor people. I always thought it was they who were in the cage, and all along it's been me.
Oh, don't take it so hard. It's really not that bad.
Oh, don't take it so hard, the man says. Sure, it's all right for you to talk. You're free. You are. You can go where you want. Do what you want, but me, I'm trapped. Only already I have a caged feeling.
But how come you didn't discover it before? Didn't you try to go anywhere for a walk or anything?
Well, frankly, I'm lazy.
Well, then why let it make a difference now?
But it does.
Well, don't see what you're kicking about. Take me. How much freedom have I got? 8 hours a day, I'm in a cage at the bank, then I rush home, dinner, I dry the dishes, then I go to whichever movie my keeper has decided on.
Your keeper?
Yes, my wife, Angela.
Oh, Mary. I had a girl once in Africa. It was the Congo. Now I can never go back.
You're lucky.
Why? I was crazy about her.
Yes, I was once crazy about Angela, too.
No more?
Oh, sometimes. Very seldom, though. Now and then, when she does something that reminds me of 20 years ago.
Oh, memories. They get you.
Yes, but you're lucky. You've got security. Why, look at you, sitting there basking in the sun, a bunch of bananas and arms reach from you. Nice tree to swing from.
No, it'll never be the same. It's not like freedom. Look at you. You've just been complaining of your lot and envying mine. Still, you never change places with me.
I'd never what?
Well, change places with me.
God, you wouldn't want to, would you?
Want to what?
Change places with me.
Well, that's odd. Here we've both been talking about the same thing, and neither one of us has even been considering it.
Well, then there's only one thing to do.
What?
Consider it.
All right, I will.
Then I will, too. Well... What do you say?
Well, what do you say?
I like the idea.
Well, I like it, too.
You'll be sorry.
No, you will.
I doubt it.
Well, if you'll just contrive to open this cage, we'll both find out.
Well, Wilbur did contrive to open the cage, and after equipping the chimpanzee with the necessary information about his routine at the bank, how to take the subway to Brooklyn, and how to get along with his wife, they parted ways, the chimpanzee embarking upon Wilbur's life of freedom and Wilbur the chimp's life of captivity. Now, many of you people are probably snickering and saying he expects us to believe this stuff. Well, I do expect you to believe it, because it's all quite true. After all, when does a chimpanzee go walking nonchalantly down the street, enter a bank, take his place in the teller's cage, and start conducting the day's transactions? Never. Everybody knows it's never. Therefore, which is the person going to believe, his reason or what habit tells him? Certainly no man in his right mind will go home to his family and say, I saw a chimpanzee holding down a bank teller's job at the First National. Not only would the man's family think he was crazy, but the man would think he was crazy, too. So, habit won over reason, and the chimpanzee went unnoticed. Now, what about Wilbur? Certainly the sight of a man lying on his back in a cage, scratching his midriff and eating bananas should be enough to send people screeching for the zoo authorities. But the sign on the cage read, Chimpanzee Habitat Africa. Which shall the people believe, their reason or cold black print? The sign says, chimpanzee, so that thing eating bananas and scratching himself must be a chimpanzee. So Wilbur, too, went unnoticed. But wait. Wait, you might say. What about Wilbur's wife? What about Angela? Certainly she suspected something. But again, does a wife expect a chimpanzee to walk in, sit down at dinner, help her with the dishes, and go to the movies with her? Which is Angela to believe, reason or habit? Besides, we must remember that for years, Angela hadn't bothered even looking at Wilbur. She'd grown completely away from him, so nobody troubled his head about that part of it. Anyway, it wasn't more than a week before the chimpanzee came back to the zoo to see Wilbur. He brought him some nice roasted peanuts.
Oh, Mr. Brown. Oh, hello there. Glad to see you.
And am I glad to see you.
Really?
You can't imagine. In fact, I'm ready to call it quits.
Why? Well, what's wrong?
Well, for one thing, I don't like your wife.
So what? Neither do I. Besides, I warned you about her.
What a woman. She never looks at me, never notices me. All she does is make me dry the dishes, take her to the movies, give her money for clothes. At the rate she's going, I won't even have enough left to pay my income tax.
Oh, income tax. My income tax. I think I'll have another banana.
Another thing, the phone bill came this morning.
Yeah?
Yes, $8.75 with two toll calls to Yonkers and a telegram to my mother-in-law. I mean your mother-in-law.
Pass me one of those roasted peanuts.
Oh, I can't do it, Brown. On your salary with these expenses, I can't possibly keep up my standard of living.
Oh, so now you've discovered standard of living.
Discovered it? I couldn't avoid the darn thing.
Yes, that's how it works.
Well, let's stop toying around, Brown. I want to call it quits.
Sorry.
You mean you won't?
Right. Definitely, absolutely, and finally, I won't.
All right. I guess that's that.
Yes, I guess it is. But you know what's the funny thing?
What is?
You remember that day you thought those bars were in front of my face instead of yours?
Mm-hmm.
And how brokenhearted you were to discover it was the other way around?
Yes.
Well, just like you that day, from where I'm sitting, I could swear that you and all those people walking around are behind the bars instead of me. Only I'm not going to make the mistake you made.
Well, what's that?
I'm never going to argue the point.
That ends the story. Chimpanzee went back to bank and to Angela. Paid the phone bill, borrowed from a fellow whom he played pinochle to meet his income tax and struggle to maintain his standard of living. And Wilbur, he swung from a tree branch for occasional exercise, but mostly he just reclined in the sun, scratching his midriff and eating bananas. And if anyone still doubts the truth of this story, I'll tell you what you do. Take your reason out of the mothballs, prop it up in its leaning places, and go to New York, firmly resolved that this habit of believing isn't going to triumph over reason. Then, drop over to the First National Bank near 59th Street, and afterwards the cage in the Central Park Zoo, which reads, Chimpanzee Habitat Africa. What you will see will not only convince you, it will astound you. Arthur Stander wrote that story. Ray Collins played Wilbur, and Glenn Anders was the chimpanzee.